Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This episode is crucial because we're going to bring awareness to the four deadly sins in marriage and, more importantly, how to avoid them, how to move back from the cliff edge of unwittingly being guilty of embodying these traits, these behaviors, these traps in your relationship with your queen. The truth about the matter is that most men in struggling marriages unwittingly embody these relationship sins. And I'm going to loosely say that they're sins, but it's very important, definitely in a society that has had so much conditioning around the word sin to be a sinner, very heavy religious connotations with it. When I use it here, I would like to bring your awareness again and again to the ancient root of the word sin. It comes from archery terminology. The ancient root of the word sin literally means to miss the mark. To miss the mark, that's it. There's no heaviness in it. There's no guilt needed. You know, if you are playing archery and you take a shot, you miss the mark, what do? You re-aim. And you train and you get better at hitting the mark, hitting the bullseye. This episode is really helping you to see where you are missing the mark. And then how to re-aim so you can hit the marriage bullseye. Now, there's two parts of this. You've got to see where you are missing the mark. It's heroic humility, and time and time and time again, I bring you back to that. Heroic humility is like, you know, humility coming from humus, meaning the ground of truth of where you're truly at. It's essential to begin with an awareness of where you are on the map. Google Maps, an insanely powerful tool, but it cannot bring you anywhere you want to go if it does not know where your departure point is, where you are now. The same in any point in your life. You cannot make progress unless you really are grounded and fully aware of where you are right now. So there's that point. And in this, again, it's coming from that ancient root word of sin. Take away guilt, take away, you know, shame, take away beating yourself up. Put the stick down, is what we say in heroic husbands, men's circles. Put the stick down of blame and shame. Put that stick down, but become radically aware where you are, where you're taking off from, where you're at now. And then, of course, re-aim. So you hit the marriage bullseye. Two parts, two very important parts in this. So let's jump in. Jump in with the assumption, actually, just before jumping into the four deadly sins in marriage. There's going to be a spectrum here of you guys listening in. Some of you will tick many of the boxes. And in this, I really want you to lean in and be humble, be radically honest with yourself. Call yourself out. Get no bullshit with yourself. This is not to listen in. There's no value in listening in and sugarcoating, going, oh, well, there's that one, but I'm not so bad. This is not the point. It does not serve you to sugarcoat. It does not serve you to listen in and go, well, that might be true for other guys, but, you know, I'm pretty good in that. And your mind conjures up some good thing you did in the last 2 days, and you're like, oh, well, you know, that sort of disregards the last 20 years. You know, I've been pretty good in that. I'm not guilty of that at all. I'm not making that mistake. I'm hitting the aim, bullseye every time. The humbling point here is, if your queen was listening in to this episode with you, would she say you're missing the mark or hitting the bullseye? That's where you got to get real. There's going to be a spectrum. Some of you are going to be missing the mark completely in a radical way on all the four deadly sins in marriage. And others a little bit good, doing well, but there's always room for improvement. So I want to say that to all of you. Accept wherever you are on the path. If you're unwittingly missing the mark, it's not your fault. You've grown up in a profoundly sick society that didn't teach you any of the tools, strategies, or know-how to nail deep intimate relating. So It's not your fault and you're not alone. Accept where you are, but don't bullshit shit yourself either. There's going to be growth opportunities for every single one of you. Let's jump in right now. The four deadly sins in marriage. Number one is indifference. Marriages set sail with a feeling of, you know, I matter. There's that warm, fuzzy feeling of this beautiful person, you know, who I'm consciously deciding to be with for the rest of my life. At least we kick off the journey with that intention. I get this feeling that I matter to them. And she gets the feeling that, you know, she matters to me. There's this incredible feeling of a human being. I matter. I matter a lot to this person. Early days. Dating, or leading up to marriage, and early days, you know, the honeymoon period, as they call it. The major thing happens is when you let this feeling of I matter slip over the years, unwittingly, slowly degrades to a feeling of indifference. The vessel of your marriage might not last more stormy waters. You need a vessel, you know, the ship that is your marriage entity. You need that strong enough that it can endure whatever comes its way. But if indifference is floating around in the background, you know, slowly rusting parts, slowly boring a hole in the side, slowly, you get the point. Indifference is not actively caring about your queen. It's making them feel like they don't matter. And of course, as always, I would encourage you to eliminate your queen's 100% in all this conversation, because the one part that the boy bitch part of us hides behind is, well, it's sort of, yeah, well, you know, I've got a bit indifferent to her, but like, fuck me, she's so indifferent with me. Guys, cut that fucking bullshit out. It's like, it's really pathetically disempowering. And if you were to die now and your last few moments on this planet was shifting responsibility to your queen as you were hiding from taking extreme ownership, that ain't a nice last thought. Like, is this how far I came in this lifetime as a man? This ain't the masculine practice. Don't worry, I camped out for years there, but it's not the practice. Indifference is not actively caring about your queen. I'm talking about actively caring. Every guy, when, you know, comes in front of me, or like in men's circle, or, you know, like when a shit show happens, it's like, oh, but I care about you. And I'm talking about actively, like really actively, proactively expressing it every single day in beautiful, new, vibrant ways, unique ways, creative ways that you care about her, that you're a relative river. Some days your 10 out of 10 might seem like a stream, but hey, by and large, it's a pretty fucking powerful river year round. Making them feel like they don't matter, that's indifference. It's real danger time zones. You gotta react to that, respond in a powerful way. So, indifference, there again, I'm going to put this out to you guys. If you're listening into this podcast, can pretty much bet my bottom dollar that, you know, you're missing the mark in this to some level. I'd invite you to get really radically real, to really get radically real, too many reels there, to get real with yourself. Call yourself out. The marriage transforming exercise in this. So this is the part of, okay, if you have been honest with yourself, and I'm trusting the powerful kings that you are, the heroic husbands, that aspirational identity that you're here listening in to be, I trust you've got honest with yourself. The marriage transforming exercise is, I would invite you, it's not the only exercise, it's a suggested one, it's super powerful. When this is worked with my one-on-one clients and guys in heroic husbands, men's circles, super powerful. Send, and this is in, what do you call it, in quoted brackets. What the fuck do you call those? I'm actually studying communication at the moment. I don't know how that term. quoted, "What I love about you is dot, dot, dot," and then there's the blank. So what I love about you is, and fill in the blank. What I love about you is the way you giggle and laugh when I say funny jokes at the table. What I love about you is when you make my coffee when, you know, when I come back in from the yard. I'm just thinking of things I naturally love about my queen. What I love about you is the way you support the girls doing art all the time. You're so supportive. What I love about you is. Send what I love about you is messages to your queen for a week. I do in all of these say, hey, make it as a way of life, but that might seem a little bit of a far stretch at the moment. Set yourself a week. Go every single day. Fill in the blank with quirky things you notice in how she shows up in your life and how she lights you up, how she lights her kids up, how she just radiates. And hey, if there's been indifference there, this might be a challenge. Good. If you find it a challenge to find what these positive points are, you can bet your bottom dollar you can be guaranteed that she's feeling that she doesn't matter around you. So train your nervous system. Send all of these beautiful messages. Send voice messages, text messages, write little love notes. Say it to her at the breakfast table. Say it to her at night. Find beautiful, creative ways of sending these messages to her. What I love about you is messages. Light her week up. Light her life up and snap back out of indifference. The second deadly sin in marriage is neglect. Neglect. Yeah, they're provocative words, guys, but we got to get real. I know myself, I will say, put my hand up, I'm definitely in the bracket of when my marriage sort of breakdown, breakthrough moment happened about 4.5-5 years ago. Boy, I was ticking all of these boxes to quite exceptional levels. I was really not showing up. As I was preparing this podcast episode, I have to say, I'm like, you know, if you want to master something, teach it. I really take that student of life approach. There's plenty of growth areas for me when I look through them going, okay, I can definitely do better here. It's very empowering. Actually, growth mindset, very empowering. It's winning or learning. We have to, as a collective of men, individually, collectively, we got to practice just putting the stick down. Fuck beating ourselves up. It's just, it does not help. So neglect. You know, when I'm looking at guys listening to men around the world, and when I see guys, even that I'm not working with one-on-one, but I pay attention, I observe, I listen, I watch, keen, with a keen eye. Tons of husbands take better care of and put in the gap, like take better care of their business, better care of their dog, better care of their car than their wife. Bottom line. You know, when we kick off the whole journey back in the day, there's big efforts, you know, when we're doing the dating, you know, in the dating days. But then it slowly slips and goes into debt by complacency, where it's like same shit, different day. She's there in the morning when I wake up. She's there at night. You know, she's a high chance she's going to be there tomorrow morning, no matter how I show up. We start neglecting the fact that there is this energetic entity. There is your lived experience, her lived experience. We are separate and it's important to energetically remain so in many ways. But there's this entity together, this invisible entity. That's your connection. That's your union. That's your bond. You know, it's invisible, but you will know immediately when you glance at a couple. We will see in other couples, yeah? We see, it's like, oh, look at them. Like, I mean, they must be having a fight. You will see when that invisible entity is suffering, is depleted, is at its last legs. You, with an immediate touching base with your nervous system, you notice with others. I imagine you've had that experience with, you know, it's easier to see your brother's marriage is struggling, your friend's marriage is struggling, your boss, the person at the club, to see, you know, strangers in a restaurant, it's like at a glance. If you pay attention, it's easier to see it in others than it is in yourself. But you will see this. It's almost all pervasive. this idea where, you know, the marriage entity is not there. And also the flip side of that is you will see immediately a couple. They're not so common, but you will see a couple immediately. And we normally associate this with, oh, there must be, I remember this woman outside of an event that myself and my queen went to. We were there, we were chatting, laughing, sort of flirting together, joking. And this woman was like, oh, you know, like, it was about conscious relating. She was like, oh, you're friends. Like, you know, it's nice to see friends come into this. And we're like, oh, no, we're married. And she was sort of lit by this shock, because our energetic entity, this was early in our marriage. We had a long way to go, and it went sort of downhill after that. But we did have a clear friendship there that sustained us through all the lows. But it's to say, many men, including myself, end up taking better care of their business, dog, car, whatever the fuck it is, rather than their wife, more than their wife, better than their wife. And our wives feel this massively, massively. You cannot neglect the marriage entity, that union, that energetic entity, and expect that, hey, loyalty will win the day. If it does, that's sadder than divorce, to be honest. That this loyal two old dogs that refuse to learn new tricks, that just will see it out till death do us part. As, you know, the husband is neglecting the marriage, is tending to every other thing, has his favorite things he tends to, but not his wife, not his marriage, not his sexual union with his queen. The marriage transforming exercise. I'm talking with spiritual balls of steel. I mean, like, if Batman put his pair of jewels out on the table, I'm talking balls like that. I mean, superhero balls. Ask your queen for feedback. At this point, a lot of you, if you're really there, you'll find that your nervous system has just like this suction force is sucking your testicles back up in your pelvis going, ask for feedback. Are you fucking crazy? Are you mad, man? Ask for feedback? There's no better way of overcoming a pattern of neglect for years. If you've been neglecting your marriage, neglecting your intimacy, neglecting your communication, neglecting your queen, there's no better way, provocative way, to provoke, to ruffle the feathers, to rebuild the foundations under your feet than asking your queen for feedback. I'm talking ask her directly. With balls of steel, Batman balls, and there's even alliteration there, with Batman balls, how can I be a better husband for you? Ask it, sit up, posture up, be still, be with her at the table, preferably the same side of the table, chair to chair, facing her. Mind your eyes, breathe deep, soft eyes gazing at her, upright posture, and shut up and listen. And then, and this is the most crucial part, use the feedback to show up in total fucking beast mode. This transformed everything. It's a way of life now. I give gratitude. I thank my queen. I ask for feedback. It's like, it's intimately woven into the tapestry of our union together. It's a way of life, as I say. Back in the beginning, man, it was courage only. I was like, hey, how can I become a better husband? And I was just learning to shut the fuck up. What's really crucial here, guys, those of you, and hey, I'm putting the challenge down to you all have massive gains on the table for you here with this one. Make sure you don't get argumentative. Make sure you receive the feedback. I literally mean shut the fuck up and receive and listen. And if it comes with resentment, if it comes with like a tone that it doesn't feel nice, hey, that's your karma. That's on you. If you have been neglecting your relationship, you've, I imagine, been neglecting feedback that she has given your, put your way down the years. All of us have, individually and collectively. Ride out that. Breathe through the intensity of the emotion. Shut the fuck up. Take it on board. Take out the diamond in the rough. If there's resentful sort of words, if there's sort of nasty, edgy feelings and words that come through her, hey, that's part. She's beginning to detox. Her nervous system is relaxing into, he's actually finally manning up. In the initial phases, it happened for me, it happens for every single guy who transforms his marriage. Sort of the nasty stuff that she hasn't felt safe to express, safe to let her nervous system release and relax, that will come up. But what will emerge out through it is the diamond in the rough. And you've got to take her feedback and then commit to showing up habitually, consistently in a better way. Whatever her feedback is, get to work, my friend, and repeat that. And long term, you asking for her feedback, that's the number one goddess gift. It's the queenly gift to us, to give us feedback where we're leading, where we're not, where we're trustworthy, where we're not, where we're safe to be around, where we're not. She will let you know. She's the most potent, powerful ally in your human journey, only if you have the spiritual balls, Batman balls, to directly request her feedback, shut the fuck up, listen to it, and implement. Deadly sin in marriage number 3. Contempt. When you get to this point, this is the serial killer of them all. Your mind is saying, you're nothing to me. You feel the victim of having let this monster into your life. You know, it's like, if I could only go back with what I know now. Have you ever felt that? If I could only go back. There's this like, how? I've been putting up with too much crap down the years and it's got to this, but, you know, I'm a victim. She's so irrational. She does this. It's because of her wounds, her past. She's bringing our shit. Like, my best is never good enough, but oh my God. I know when I look back, guys, my contempt, and it was deep, deeply entrained within my nervous system, coming as always from old childhood memories and trauma. That's where contempt comes from. It's old trauma where you end up caught in a loop of trauma reenactment where you get the very same emotional set point of your experience in marriage as you witnessed your dad getting. It's very, very similar. Or you try to do the exact opposite of your dad, but you end up strangely caught back feeling the same emotions that he struggled to go beyond. My contempt in old arguments was expressed by saying the likes of, well, who else would fucking take you? Like, I literally, my nervous system believed it. It's like, who would take you? And, you know, I've grieved this. I've apologized to my queen. We're good with this. It's almost like it is surreal in a way when I think back. It's like, hey, same man in a level, same nervous system, same lifetime, but an entirely different human being at the same time. Like who I am now as sort of this, the habitual pathways in my nervous system now print out an entirely different human experience. Therein lies the massive breakthrough for you guys. You literally, you know, you are consciousness. Masculine practice is being embodied consciousness, which is presence. From embodied consciousness, you can choose whatever new pathways you are going to set down. I would say go from protective pathways to presence pathways. Presence pathways, you breathe into it. You allow new shit to come through you. Good shit. Amazing stuff. Feels good. You're communicating better. You're coming from courage. It turns it all. No matter who you are, no matter what your current marriage life situation is, no matter what your inner world is, you can transform it all by implementing these things. If it was available for me, and it has been, and I feel this radical shift within my nervous system, how I'm showing up, same queen, same kids, same house, radically different married life experience. It's available to you. So contempt, you know, I'd ask you the question, be honest. Do you ever feel like you're the good guy, victim of a broken wife? It's like, oh, but my best, I know I'm not. We'll sort of soften our own responsibility, sort of as in we will radically soften taking extreme ownership. But stories like, I know I'm not perfect, but by God, I do so much stuff around here. She doesn't appreciate me. Like my best, she's my best would be good enough for other women, but like for her, she's never happy. We shifted that. There's something wrong with her. There's something broken. It's all she points to my crap. Well, by Christ, she's not healing. She's not doing anything. Like, I mean, she's went to therapy, but she hasn't overcome shit. Or she refuses to go to therapy. So why the fuck should I make the? Why should I make a change? We're constantly doing this thing of shifting responsibility and just being afraid to take it all on. Reality is, guaranteed, you're, I would say, deeply traumatized, and so is your queen. Because why? This profoundly sick society that we've all grown up in, underneath the awareness of, what is natural, normal, ain't fucking good. We have went so far from the natural order, from the natural environment. We're the only species on the planet that has created an environment that does not support the species to thrive. The only species. Think about it. Every single pillar of modern society is based on disconnection. It's designed to be disruptive to your capacity to thrive psychologically, spiritually, emotionally. And thus, how the fuck could you create a beautiful marriage in it all? It's not your fault, you're not alone, but it is your responsibility to wake up in the dream of this profoundly sick society, in the dream, or you might call it a nightmare, of your marriage, and take powerful action. Respond. Use your ability to respond. Responsibility. The greatest response to overcoming contempt, one of the great exercises is marriage transforming, is to do daily positive aspects journaling about your queen. I would say for 1 month. Train your mind. What this looks like is writing 5 to 10 things you like about her every day. And this naturally increases the good shit that she brings. Because when you start working that, working that, working that, I did that in the toughest, darkest moments of my marriage journey with my queen. I got to work. I started journaling more than 5 or 10. Like some days, because it was that dark, I was like, I just got to grind out 20, 30, 50, whatever amount of time, in the morning, at night. I tell you, my nervous system started being trained to focus on positive things. Then it just started naturally noticing, and then I started naturally having more opportunities, and I learned, don't just notice them inside, tell her. And if you tell her often, feminine grows by appreciation. If I notice often and then I tell her often, then she grows, then she smiles, then she softens, then she's not so harsh with me, then she's more open, then she cuddles me, then she receives my cuddle, then she's looking for me to kiss, now she's looking for more. Oh, where are we? We're on an upward spiral, guys. You gotta work it. It all, the beginning, middle, and end of your marriage transformation is working with your own nervous system, working with your own mind. Don't think it's anything different than that. Don't be working with her response. Become radically sovereign in this. Work your nervous system. It's entirely in your capacity. It's in your power. Nobody can take that capacity from you. Work your nervous system. Work it, work it, work it, work it, and the external world will shift and change in beautiful ways. It's all based on where your awareness goes, the energy flows. Put your awareness in the right places. That's the discipline. The fourth deadly sin in marriage. Violence. And I know, if you're like me, that Mr. Nice Guy persona is like, there's can have kick back to that word. Maybe kick back to every single one of these words. Indifference, neglect, contempt, not me. And well, if you have softened into, indifference, neglect, and contempt being, a sin where you have been missing the mark, don't pull the trigger so quickly and violence not being relevant to you. In this, I'm not talking about physical or sexual violence, although that can and does happen behind closed doors. And I'm not leaving that out because it's not important to speak to. I'm going to go off the assumption that you know that's black and white, that you're not physically or sexually violent with her. I'll make that assumption. in this conversation. If you are, you clearly, hey, same response. But I want to speak to the relatively, I would say, all pervasive. The most common form of marital violence is emotional. It's the subtle, well, it seems subtle. In the experience of it, it's far from subtle. Our wives, when we are emotionally violent, it's far from subtle. But it seems subtle. It's in, well, let's define it first. Emotional violence is when someone says or does things to make another person feel bad or doubt themselves. Again, cut that voice out of your head. The protective pathways of blame. Oh, well, by that definition, she's emotionally violent with me. So who the fuck? Cut that shit out, guys. You know, where your body is sending out a message that is evoking response. If you're evoking response in whore, and I know you can go boy bitch energy and go, well, that's the same true for whore, Mark. You know, it's like she's sending a message and it's evoking response of emotional violence for me. So I was like, well, that's very manly, isn't it? Shifting responsibility to your queen, to your woman, probably the mother of your kids. You are like leader mode is taking extreme ownership. Emotional violence is when someone says or does things to make another person feel bad or doubt themselves. Get really real with this. You know, have you ever, or does it happen, you know, relatively often, you know, think conflict moments, where you say things to make your queen feel bad? And in that moment, you might feel right, so righteous in your stance that it's like, well, I'm not doing it to make her feel bad. It's just obvious that I have to say that because she's got so irrational. I've just fucking said X, Y, or Z. But really underneath it all, in those moments, very regularly, is there not such a righteous moment that it's like you're speaking down to her? You're making her feel bad, but you feel so righteous, so powerful in your righteous stance that you're losing track that you're actually, what you're saying is making her feel bad. The key thing here, guys, is to label it, to become aware, have the courage and the spiritual, the Batman balls, to have the courage to admit and recognize and become aware. It's emotional violence. If, you know, if every now and then, or relatively, like if you get really real, it's quite often that you say things that, hey, in those moments, those things are aiming to make her feel bad because, hey, you feel under attack, you feel all the clever rationalizations of the mind, but what is coming out your mouth in that moment, the intention is to make her feel bad, to get her to back off, to get her to shut up, to get her to realize she's wrong. It's aiming to make her feel bad. And doubt themselves. You know, one of the key things here, you know, is where sometimes clever rationalizations of the mind can trickily, sneakily go, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. And, well, that Mark's description of it, you know, that's not relevant to me. And we can hide our minds. The persona, the boy bitch voice, can hide from the dark side of ourselves. But reflect upon this. Do you ever talk to strangers in a way that is nicer than how you would regularly speak with your wife, like in the morning or when you come home from work? You know, regular sort of run-of-the-mill mundane moments. I'm not talking about, oh, well, it was on date night, but even on date night. Very often on date night, we're still not speaking in a very nice way. But do you ever speak with strangers in a nicer way than how you speak with your queen? True or false? Witnessing a ton of guys out there, speaking with guys all around the planet. You know, the wry smile comes in the face and it's like guys are that have their hands up. I know myself. It's like, hey, the police officer, the waitress, you know, the local restaurant you go to for lunch, your customer or potential customer, the checkout lady in the fucking petrol station when you come back, they get our 5-star serving or the 4-star, 3-star, but like they get the 10 out of 10 best in that moment, you know, because why? It's the low-hanging fruit, you know, it feels nice as a human being to smile, say a nice joke, to compliment somebody, and to get them to respond and smile back. It's the low-hanging fruit because they're a stranger, they have no backstory with you. So you smile, you joke, you're charming, you hold eye contact, you listen, you respond. You're their hero for a moment. It's nice, yeah? But here's the rub. Do you bring the same 10 out of 10 when you come in home after, you know, a long day at work where you're feeling a little bit pooped? You're exhausted, you're tired, it's a hard day's work, you know? But it's your wife, she's going to be there tomorrow. Be there the next day. She's sort of has a pretty solid pattern of just showing up no matter how I show up with indifference, neglect, contempt, or emotional violence. I mean, she's there. And the double standards in this is, and why it is emotional violence, most guys, if you're honest, will be, in my experience, you know, sheepishly, wryly smiling, sort of going, fuck yeah, it's true. It's true. I do give the best because there's a part of us and we gotta call bullshit on ourselves. Individually and collectively, is like, you know, we give the best first impression to the customer because, hey, they mean a lot. You want to give a good impression. The police officer, hey, it's like we don't like judgment of other people. So we give the best. So, you know, it's nice. So the police officer, the waitress, you know, the people around us, they smile, they get a good impression, they think I'm a nice guy. There's that importance to be perceived as being a nice human being. But it slices through our queen's heart when she witnesses this unconscious hypocrisy of us to be continually giving our 5-star servings to other people who actually don't count as important as herself, who's the woman who, you know, till death do us part. In some sacred spiritual religious ceremony, said, hey, yes, I will. Who, in many cases, has, you know, risked literal death bringing your offspring, bringing your children into the world, who's committed to be with you for the rest of her life and create this amazing life and ticks a lot of boxes for you. You speak better to strangers than you do to her. You know, it's almost more hurtful than hitting or slapping the face. That double standards. And this is where devotional love comes in. Devotional love, the marriage transforming exercise in this, is practice gifting your queen your 5-star best serving. Like you did in your first date, man. And again, if it doesn't come natural, if there's a lot of baggage in your nervous system, do whatever the fuck you need to do to get over it. Do the positive, it's all of these marriage transforming exercises, do them all for a week, for a month, make it a way of life, but do whatever is necessary. Fake it till you fucking make it. Work the presence pathways, work those new pathways so you bring life, you bring force where the where your awareness goes, the energy flows. Make her feel special again. Imagine like you're trying to win her heart, and I'm telling you, you are. Heroic husbands in the culture, in heroic husbands, men's circles, it's like, man, your job is winning her heart moment to moment to moment to moment. There's no end in that. You're winning her heart. That's a leader. A leader wins the hearts of those he has the honor and privilege to lead. He wins their hearts. He shows up. He does whatever is necessary to earn the right to be trusted by those people. You're winning her heart. That's leadership. And that's moment to moment to moment to moment. Make her feel special again, man. Make her feel special. And don't just do it for a flash in the pan. Oh, I listened to the podcast and I did it that evening. And then I just went back to same shit, different day, mundane mode. That's not good enough for you, man. It's not good enough for you. It's not good enough for your queen. And it's not good enough for your kids to model, so they will have an emotional set point of mediocrity when they go into their relationships, or they'll look at your marriage and go, I don't fucking think so, I don't like that human experience, so I'm going to remain, you know, free and single. Heroic husbands and kingly brothers, when I bring that, coming into landing here, when I bring that at the beginning of each episode, it's an aspirational identity. We don't have many men at all, elders, where we can model and look at how that guy lived, how his marriage still is living it, how he showed up in parenting, and he's radically alive, he's sexually liberated, he's on fucking fire, and he's been married like 40 years, 50 years, his queen like lights up, they both have this libido for life. We don't have those men, they're not out there, actually. They're really not out there. The challenge to you, to me, to every single man in this movement, you're listening into the podcast, the guys who are actively showing up in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, the expanding movement, our responsibility, it's our ability to respond. We're not responsible for the profoundly sick society that we were born into, that our parents, grandparents, etc. were born into, but it is our task, it is our challenge, not only to transform our marriage, which every single one of you are totally capable of doing so, but it's to embody such a level of open-hearted loving that every man that looks on, our sons, our neighbors, our brothers, our colleagues, men in the movement can look and bear witness to, my fucking God, whatever your name is, Tom, Peter, Andrew, Ty, Jack, Dean, Dwayne, Duran. I'm talking about names naturally coming of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles members and other men that I'm meeting. Whatever your name is, the men in your tribe, the men in your community, your queen needs to see you embodying it. Your sons, your daughter, your community needs to see the embodiment of how powerful a man can become when he decides to take responsibility, to take extreme ownership, to show up in masculine spiritual mode of, you know, it does not matter what fucking came before me, but I am going to do whatever is necessary. I will be relentless in sowing seeds of possibility, seeds of hope, seeds of ownership. So with such consistency, that my wife lights back up to life, my kids light back up, I become the single greatest healing presence in my queen's life, my kids' life, in my community's life. So now you're spiritually back on fire, like you've never been in this lifetime, and by natural spiritual energetic effect, the domino is that ripple in the pond spreads and other people come alive and they go, what the fuck is your secret, man? What's that podcast? What's that, you know, men's circle, what's that practice? What the fuck did you do? And you can tell them, it's like, oh, I just listened to this one episode and I did every single exercise in it. I took notes, took it down, got to work. Or you don't do that. And nobody ever asks what your secret is because there's no secret to you. You've just decided to surrender to same shit, different day. Well, what path is it going to be? The masculine path, mountain in the storm. Like we walk to the storm. The spiritual storm of our unpredictable, unboxable, untamable queen. The unboxable, untamable, unpredictable storm that is life. The unboxable, untamable, unpredictable storm that is our wounds. We march towards the storm because that is where no pressure, no diamond. That is the challenge before you. Eliminate indifference. Eliminate neglect. Go beyond contempt. Go beyond violence. And start becoming the single greatest embodiment of love that your queen has ever witnessed, has ever been in the presence of. And it's the same man, same nervous system, but by God, it's like a different human being altogether. It's available to you, brothers. The most amazingly beautiful unfoldment is available to you, but only if you have the Batman balls to implement. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Hey, kingly brothers. Don't miss the next intake into Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Stop lone wolfing, guys. It does not work. End needless struggle and years of painful guesswork. Apply now to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Click the link in the podcast description and become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship today. Don't miss the boat. Book your call now.